Welcome to the Three Film Egos. I'm your hirsute host, Isaac Jensen, and with me, as always, is Utah's whitest black child, Clayton Godby.
I was a little bit bothered by that.
And our resident vegan dreadlocked Portlandier, Ryan Cragen.
Jesus says no.
This is a film discussion podcast where we each pick a film based on a predetermined theme or topic and then talk about anything but. There will be tangents. There will not be spoiler alerts. Consider yourselves warned. On this episode, we'll be discussing the films we hated while watching.
Hate movies we hated while watching, and in fact, couldn't get through it in some cases.
So I wanted to talk about two distinct choices that we made when we chose these.
Right. Why we picked them.
Right. Yeah. I feel like some of us picked movies because they accidentally walked into them and didn't know if they were going to be good or not. And some of them we knew would suck absolutely before choosing to see it.
That's a good distinction.
Yeah. Like, you see Grease because everyone has seen Grease. And you had to see Grease.
With me specifically, it was actually for the re-release in theaters they did, I think, in like the mid-90s at some point. I actually went with my mother and her sister because they were all gung-ho about it, and I really didn't know anything about it. And I just remember sitting there for the 2 hours I was excruciating. I wanted to go. I couldn't take it.
I was okay. I was okay sitting in that because I was laughing the whole time. Like, I just found it hilarious. And it wasn't something that I didn't enjoy. I would agree that it's just one of the most awful movies I've seen. But it was still one of those experiences where I had a good time staring at a screen for a little while. So that's why I wouldn't have put it there. But that is fair for Ryan to bring up. You chose this differently. Like for me, I chose Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement. But I knew that was going to be bad when I went to it. I knew it was going to be really bad. And then it was.
And see, when I chose Head of State, I chose it because Chris Rock is supposedly, like, the sixth funniest stand-up comedian in history, or, you know, by someone's list.
Oh, right.
So it should be funny, and it's not.
Well, yeah, it's not very often, actually, that a comedian who kills it as a comedian ends up in a shitty movie.
Well...
Did I say that backwards?
You may have.
I meant it's often the good comedians will end up in shitty movies.
Not, oh, not often. Yeah,
yeah. There we go.
So you'll
say...
Yeah. So,
I said it backwards.
For sure. What are some others?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of good comedians, people I respect, people who I think are really funny. When they try to portray a role, they just fail. Because when you're doing stand-up, you're not portraying a role. You're just being you, pointing things out, you know, being funny. And comedians usually are funny people. But that doesn't mean they should act. And Chris Rock should not have acted in this.
I don't know if his acting was the worst part of that movie at all.
It wasn't the worst part, but it's...
I'm pretty sure just the idea of this movie is the worst thing that ever happened to it. The fact that they could do this and make it funny really sucks.
Yeah, it kind of felt like to me that someone had written a script about, like, well, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, a black dude from the projects ran for president, and then I think Chris Rock would got involved later. I don't really know. But it just felt like an hour and a half long white people be different from black people joke.
Yeah, exactly. And that humor bothers me almost all the time anyway. Like, I don't know. I'm usually annoyed by that kind of humor, so I usually don't listen to Chris Rock or watch him. Even though I do think he's funny, it's just that brand of joke just rubs me the wrong way. I don't know what it is about it.
You're sick of talking about race, I think. Even if it's about joking about it. I think you're just so fucking done with the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, let's put it behind us. Like... You can still make an occasional joke, but a whole set about the same white people be different than black people is just boring to me.
Yeah, I think this would have worked. Like, if they had filmed like a 30-minute set of Chris Rock talking about it would be funny if a black dude from the projects ran for president, that would have been a better movie than this.
I think it would have been head and shoulders better. And I don't even like Chris Rock's stand-up. I needed to put that as a disclaimer. I've tried to watch it and can't.
Yeah, I'm
right.
There is one feature of this.
What's that?
He does not play every character in the movie, which I'm ecstatic about. Because I couldn't have done it if it was even, you know, if he played multiple characters, I may have just blow my brains out.
Yeah, that's a plus. I also, there's one aspect of this film I didn't actually hate, and it's Bernie Mac. I enjoy Bernie Mac, even though some of the stuff they had him do was pretty ridiculous. I think he's funny. I mean, not that funny in this movie, but he's got a certain charm and charisma that the scenes he was in didn't make me loathe.
Yeah, that's,
you know, in this movie, I didn't dislike him. In general, I really dislike him. Like, the Bernie Mac show is awful on television. But in this movie, I kind of liked him. Like, his character, like, represented truth. Like, you know, do your thing, say what you really want to say, you know, do something important. I kind of liked that.
Yeah, it's like this film, it was like maybe 15 minutes of actual, like, good message and a funny joke or two, then compounded with another hour and 15 minutes of filler jokes that are just awful.
Yeah.
Make a full-length movie.
Yeah.
The first time I saw this movie, and I didn't finish it, it was when I worked at a theater, and it was on. Clayton and I worked together. This may have been before you were there, but
I don't remember.
I felt cheated having paid nothing to see this movie. Like, I couldn't believe that they did that to me, that they would try to sell that product to somebody, actually get people to pay money and feel satisfied with themselves. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Like,
I've had a debate. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just couldn't imagine trying to sell, like, such a piece of shit to somebody.
Well, they'll do it.
Work. Well,
I've had I'd like to just mention, I've had a debate with several people whether or not movies like this and comedy like this furthers our goal of eliminating racism or makes it worse by making people believe or making gullible people maybe believe that there are inherent, just innate differences between people of different races, or if it doesn't affect one way or the other. I don't believe that it's funny to make these kind of jokes, but is it harmful? It's just like a side note I'd like to hear from you guys.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say it's necessarily harmful, but it's not helping. And I guess in a way it might actually compound the issue. It might actually reinforce people's opinions, but the opinions are already there. But yeah, you're right. For a movie to spend its entirety pointing out differences, it's not really going to help people eliminate those differences.
Right. And I don't believe that there are, like, inherent differences between races. I think there are cultural differences that take place because of, you know, setting, where you grow up, you know, and exactly. Certain areas are more racial, have different races as the majority. So it ends up being that way. But I don't think that, like, inherently black people are born, like, being tuned, like, to love fried chicken more or something like that. And I think that there are people out there who might believe that, seeing comedy like this.
I think there are two different styles of jokes that people are familiar with. There's the kinds that talk about similarities, and we laugh at that. That's like a Jerry Seinfeld, you know, have you ever seen some guy do whatever? You know, that's his whole
set. I can relate to that.
Yeah, I can relate to that, and it's funny. So this is, you know, it's kind of the opposite. Like, look at how we don't relate. You know, as I feel like it's kind of like a defensive, a separation thing. You know, this is how we don't relate at all. And I guess that would be funny, but if it's always just going to be about the color of your skin, then it's kind of used up. Like, you can talk about a lot of other, you know, things that are different between me and you, you know, so we can make a lot of different jokes about that. It doesn't always have to be the color of the skin. I mean, it's fine if it's occasionally, I think, but it just gets overplayed, and I don't know if it's good or not, you know?
Yeah, and the jokes about differences, I think, the jokes about differences can be used in, like, two primarily different ways. One, just for the joke or just for the shock value. But then there's another way that I think a lot of the smarter comedians do. They bring it up to address the issue and get the audience to rethink their prejudices. But this movie didn't do that.
Right. I've heard from people that that's one of Chris Rock's aims. Like, get it out in the open, get people talking about it, then we can see it's ridiculous. If you're laughing at it, you know, it's sort of ridiculous. And I've also heard a train of thought that, like, there are problems with racism. There is racism out there. And so ignoring a problem doesn't make the problem go away. And so it's been proposed that comedians try to help with the problem with their humor, like the only way they know how. But I really don't feel that's what Head of State is doing, nor do I feel like that's the most effective way to deal with it in general.
Yeah, right. I'm just not impressed by
Chris
the humor.
Rock, Chris Rock is definitely one of those comedians who tries to bring race issues to the forefront and address them and talk about them and start a discussion. And so it kind of feels like a couple of screenwriters ran with a couple of jokes he might have had and then just railroaded it with crap that's not funny and not addressing any kind of social issue, really. I mean, on the surface, it was addressing a social issue of, you know, can a black man run for president? But, and, you know, maybe the fact Obama was elected is coloring our opinion of this, but, I mean, not that deeply, if at all.
Yeah, I think before Obama was elected, I believed a black man could become president. I already thought that, I think.
Yeah. I was of the belief that it could happen. I was really stoked when it
did.
But
right. Oh, yeah. But I think this movie was kind of running under the assumption that if it was going to happen, it was going to be in a long time from now.
Yeah. That's another thing is it's just so inaccurate. It's like, see all these differences? This is why this couldn't happen. Well, and there's a lot of difference between the character that Chris Rock played and who Barack Obama is. But still, it's just a ridiculous, almost offensive concept for a movie.
Right. But I did not hate it as much as Princess Diaries 2.
Oh, my God.
So this is one, yes, I chose Princess Diaries 2. I did it because I worked at the same theater as Ryan. We were both working there when this came out, I think.
I think so.
Don't you think, Ryan?
I believe so.
I think so. I was in a phase where I was just watching every movie came out so that when I worked in the box office, people asked me what I thought. Even if it sucked, I could just say, dude, you know what? That movie is awful. There's a lot that I really dislike about this movie. I think it's just blatant, really, really over-obvious attempt at just coming up with a theme or a moral that is forward-thinking was really annoying. It was just, like, so blatant. It was trying to kind of promote, like, feminism or something, but then ended up, like, thwarting its own efforts to do that.
Really? You got that much out of it?
I
felt like they just thought every little girl wants to be a princess, so let's make a movie about what it would be like to be a princess.
Well,
that's
definitely the first movie, but this one's all about
I did not see the first. Absolutely not.
Yeah,
oh, that's the first one is, you know, Mia is a regular girl, actually really a nerd, very strange, doesn't fit in. And then her dreams come true and she becomes a princess, which
Clayton,
I don't like that either.
Clayton, can I interrupt you, Clayton?
Sure. Yes.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't. Please don't.
Right. No, I'm familiar with what the first one was about, but I don't think there was any actual attempt at any kind of theme with the second one. I think this was a obvious just paycheck. I think the direction was so uninspired and unskilled that I think Gary Marshall just sat in his chair, said, action, cut, print. Like, there's no passion at all. It was just like, let's capitalize on a very successful movie and make a shit ton more money.
I hope they didn't do that.
Even look at the introduction queen.
What's that?
You look at the scene where they introduce the queen, where she comes in. The camera is just in one spot down a hallway, and you would think in a movie, I mean, if I were going to direct this movie, which I don't know that I would, if I'm having a queen make an entrance, you're going to make it kind of grandiose, kind of, you know, let's have some fanfare. But she just comes around a corner in a hallway and walks forward. It was such an anticlimax.
They're caricatures. They're not even they. I couldn't handle the court scene.
Oh my God.
Man, I just couldn't. Well, it irritated me so much. I just knew that my life was over when I was watching this. I was literally just going to have to sit there and watch painful scene after painful scene.
Just for the sake
of bitching about it later.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I watched it. I started noting all of the things that were pissing me off just so I could talk about it later. Like the dancing with all the princes, the end was so clunky. I did not understand what was happening. It just moved. It would be like she's dancing with one prince, cut. She's dancing with another, and it just had no flow, no rhythm at all. And I was like, why is the editing so bad on a movie that's almost 2 hours long?
I know. I don't understand.
But really...
When you don't have a plot, how you make a 2-hour movie? I don't understand it. they even did it, let alone knowing why they wanted to do it.
Money, obviously. And, it was the driving factor.
Yeah, it was all money.
Purely.
This was just one big money grab.
They didn't need to make it 2 hours long to make their money. The ticket would have been the same price either way.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Even the special effects were such a joke. I mean, they did these plate shots when they're zooming in, and it's just this crappy CG that I could have done on an iPad
plus,
in 5 minutes.
Yeah, who knows how much footage was actually shot for this, but someone had to have the job of editing it and had to make some kind of cogent story. So that's probably how it ended up. You know, I bet the editor did one pass through, and then the studio's like, that'll make money. We'll go with it.
But I do want to make a note of the duet that was sung as well with Julie Andrews.
I mean, I heard that she was in this movie.
I'm surprised. I really am surprised they got her to do it. I don't understand. And it was like her first time singing again after some sort of surgery that she had to have, and her part was awful. It was such a bad song. It made me almost like supercalifragilistic, whatever
right,
that song
right.
is.
Yeah, it,
miles
it, it,
ahead
it
of
so
it.
Bad. I was like, of course you have to get Julie Andrews to sing. I mean, otherwise why is she even in the movie? But it was so painful. And all of the set pieces, the kingdom, like whenever they would go through town, it really bothered me the way the town looked very like old and like antiquated and just kind of an old European town. But then you look at all the citizens and they all look modern. And for a very small country, I think is in Europe, is supposed to be in Europe, was
yes.
extremely ethnically diverse.
I thought they looked like a bunch of Americans with fake mustaches.
No, exactly. It looked like
you know,
a street
like...
scene. From
with
New York
bad
City.
Fake accents. They weren't even characters.
Oh,
they
oh my God,
even
that's
people.
That is another thing that boggles my mind, is all the citizens of this of the country, their accents kept changing. There was a French accent, there was perfect English, there was like a German accent. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know what the fuck was going on this entire movie.
Who knows where Genovia is? It's everywhere. But, there's like little islands of it in every other country in Europe.
Oh, God. Awful. And what do you think about Chris Pine being in this?
Yeah, I had a good laugh about it because of...
good old Captain Kirk is a
yeah.
prince, huh?
And you know he just took this because it was like, yeah, I'm going to be in a big
right.
movie.
Well, with him, he seemed like he actually was trying to act a little bit, but with such a terrible script, you could tell he was just... doing what he could with it.
Yeah, that was just a giant sinking ship the whole way. No inspiration. There's nothing that came out of that except little girls going to the movie on a Saturday and Disney raking in the cash. Probably selling some more little dolls.
Awful.
So we
didn't even try to decide which one of these was the worst.
Well, we didn't really talk about Grease that much yet.
We didn't really talk about Grease yet, man.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten. I've tried
yeah,
to forget.
Yeah, you should.
You've tried to forget Grease.
All right,
so
I'm gonna.
Well, you gave us the intro.
Okay, I'm
gonna
jump into this. Yeah.
Yeah, your mom and your sister. You went with them, and you just couldn't handle it. That's
yeah,
about where we left off, I think.
My hatred for this movie has stuck with me. That it of course was my natural pick for this category because I wanted to verify. Now that I have a more you know refined and mature palate for movies, I want to see if it really is as awful as I remember. And I will say there's one caveat of this while watching it. I noted that technically, as far as the filmmaking goes, the actual camera work and editing, better than the other two. But I think my vitriol for this actually went up even more this time around. I watched it with Misty because she wanted to watch it with me. And I got about, I don't know how long it is before the first song starts, but I get through it and I'm sitting there just in pain. And Misty taps me saying, are you ready? It's coming up. It's coming up. And I look at her, I'm like, what's coming up? And then the music starts. And I was like, oh shit, I forgot. This has music. This has singing.
How did you forget that?
I don't know. Like, I knew it was a musical, and I knew going into it again it was a musical, but after watching the first 10 minutes, I think I was just in so much pain I forgot that there was musical numbers coming up.
Oh.
I can't handle it. I wish people really talked like how their characters talked, how the T-Birds talked. I wish people talked like that all the time. I could live in that world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just be fascinated. I just couldn't believe it. It sounded like they all had huge coke problems.
Yep.
the thing that blew me away
the most while watching it is I remembered probably the first half hour all seemed familiar, and then from there to the final musical piece was all a complete blank to me, like I'd never seen it before.
Well, that's the point at which your brain stopped recording it.
Exactly. Like, it was all unfamiliar, new territory to me. I
don't need this stuff.
Yeah, we can just forget this ever happened. This is what happened. So your brain shut off on time last time.
Well, on time would have been right at the open credits.
Well, yeah, but you still gave it a fair shot. You gave it a quarter of a movie before your brain just completely shut off. Try hopscotch, you hot dog. The comedy lines were in it so gold. I mean, that was one redeeming quality. The dialogue was so out of its mind that it was slightly entertaining.
Right.
And what was her name? Frenchie. I want to know if that was her real voice or if that was an overdub.
I think I've seen her in other films, and I think that is her voice.
That is a
I actually
god-awful voice.
Recently, as a joke, watched Xanadu, which I actually...
That's Olivia Newton-John, right?
Yeah, she's in it. And it's probably worse than this. It's got...
I can imagine.
It's like the rollerblading gangs, and the musical numbers are just as bad. And then, like, ridiculous special effects. It's like she... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why she's making these movies. Or what. I don't know why she did that to us.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did to her to make her do that.
I picked up a record at a record shop a few years back, Xanadu, the soundtrack, because I thought it might be funny and weird, and it just ended up being the most god-awful record possible. And so, I mean, in a sense, it made a good coaster, but...
So is that a plus for Grease that there's a worse movie out there?
Xanadu might be yours.
It gets worse.
And what is the message of this film? What are they trying to tell us?
I don't know.
That you need to dress the part to get the person you want in high school? That you should totally change your individuality? And also, they totally gloss over the consequences of unprotected sex. They just totally cast off that incident at the end, saying, it's all right, it was a false alarm, I'm not pregnant. That's great, let's make out.
Well, then all's well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. Like,
if you're a real cool
about?
Guy, you'll get a real cute girl, and then you shouldn't fuck up and have sex with her unprotected.
You know, I think I need to change my outlook on this one and think of it more as a social commentary on how teenagers and high school, they're all just pieces of shit. I think that's the intended message that's been just conflated and misunderstood.
It's not really about love.
A great
I think
piece
it,
of satire.
The message might just be sex is the most important thing in the world, and you need to have it in high school. Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
You got to be real
without
cool to do that, though.
Yeah.
You got to have mad
you
dance
should be
skills.
Cool. You should be cool. That's the message. And it's for high schoolers. Like, why aren't you cool?
Be cool. Unless the girl you want to date doesn't like you cool, then you should wear the Letterman jacket and, you know, go out for sports. And then when she turns into a slut, everything's fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you getting some some deep thoughts out of this.
I had to bring something to the table on this. Otherwise, it's just pain.
I couldn't stand it. That's...
Yeah, how far did you make it?
Oh, probably about 2/3 of the way.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. I gave Grease a real shot.
That's a valiant effort, really, I think. Like, I think that's noteworthy.
Yeah, it's whatever. There was no more to watch to learn from any of it.
Right.
They weren't going to do anything they hadn't already done.
Well, let's not do that again.
No,
yeah.
This episode was awful.
So depressing.
Fun.
There was not a damn good thing to talk about this whole segment.
Well, and... I think that the concept for this episode was that we're going to talk about the worst movies we ever watched, and it's going to be funny because we'll get to watch really bad movies and laugh at them the whole time. But it was really a lot less fun than it sounded like it was going to be when we conceptualized this thing.
Yeah, right. It really backfired.
I think it's going to be entertaining to listen to, though.
The jokes are really on us for this one. Cause,
yeah, this is the worst kind of masochism that I have ever participated in.
I bet, you know, the worst part is if there are so many people, like, or some people listening out there, they probably have watched way worse movies and could give awesome recommendations. But I don't know if
yeah,
I'd
love to hear
this again.
We got to tread lightly on that. I'd love to hear what people, what their, you know, the worst movies they've seen are, or their least favorite, and then maybe we can give it a shot. Listeners' worst movies.
Maybe after a while. While.
Right. You know,
next
lengthy refractory period. Plus, Anne Hathaway shouldn't be anything where she's not naked.
I think she went to that business model shortly after this movie, did she not?
I think she was in Brokeback Mountain before this.
Really?
What?
Let me check.
No way. Right. She was in that. She was in the movie with Justin Timberlake, I think, right?
No. Are you thinking of Black Snake Moan?
No.
No? Why has she been in with Justin Timberlake?
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Princess Diaries 2 was 2004, Brokeback Mountain 2005.
Wow.
She was the White Queen. Oh, yeah,
Havoc?
White Queen. I don't know what that is. I've never heard of the Havoc.
Yeah, I think she's naked in Havoc, too.
I think that's what it is. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't see JT in the cast list, though.
What fucking character am I thinking of? I don't know why I thought of him. Yeah, this is definitely the movie I'm thinking of. Why did I think he was in it?
Right on.
Yep. I have no idea.
Who the hell was the lead in this guy?
Cool. Can't wait for her to be Catwoman. That'll actually be cool. She does cool stuff sometimes. Like, she's a good actress.
I think she's a great actress.
Yeah, I think she's just done some shitty movies. I'm sure we'll see stuff from her to come, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, every great actress and actor has to pay their dues.
Yeah, I don't think this one was
She didn't
necessary.
Have to do this. She did other cool stuff before it, too. I don't know.
She did the first one.
What did they
say? I think the first one was her first movie.
It was, yeah. She was revisiting.
So she was obligated to do a sequel.
No, she wasn't. If you assume that was the movie that really launched her. I think the TV show was what launched that movie, wasn't it? She was in
Was it a TV show?
I think she was in TV shows before that, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I think she was in, like, Disney TV show.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in Get Real.
And so then they did a Disney movie with her, but she was one of those ones that started out on a TV show.
Well, there were 3 years in between the first one and the second one. I think that she gained notoriety and just could have said no. She wanted some
more
money.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any television on her IMDb.
It does. It just says it's up above, and then it says 1999 through 2002.
Yeah, she did. She was on a TV show, Get Real, right? I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there it is. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so she did 3 years of
no
TV prior, so it wasn't her only foray into acting.
Well, I'm glad she's making the decisions to get naked.
Yeah.
You made that
That'll
very
help.
Apparent.
That'll help me
forget. This episode.
I think you like her naked better than her movies.
Well, when it's Princess Diaries. I don't know, I just felt weird masturbating to that movie.
I was too horrified and turned off. Like...
Oh, you were seriously considering?
No, I'm joking.
Nothing like Julie Andrews and Anne Hathaway to inspire a man.
All right, well, on that note, I think we can call it.
Cool.
To get involved in the discussion, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/3filmegos, follow us on Twitter, @3filmegos, or email us at 3filmegos@gmail.com. You can also comment at 3filmegos.podomatic.com, where you can also donate and subscribe to the show. Music provided by 90s Television. You can hear more of their music on Facebook. On our next episode, Swordplay. We've been the 3 Filmegos. Thanks for listening.